Oh my God, is everything working?
I think so.
What? I don't have to set anything up?
Did we actually get it right for once?
I feel like I want to go buy a lottery ticket.
Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl,
where we had no technical difficulties starting this episode.
I'm Karen of Love Boat.
And I'm Mandy from Ilvernath.
And here we are again.
Man, the weeks are just flying by.
I know. I feel like I just finished editing last week's episode and we're doing it again.
Yes, we are. We are back, baby.
I want to do a quick Oscar guess. What predictions? Okay. That's what it's called.
Okay.
So I don't know if you have seen or heard of any of these movies, but we'll just do like best picture.
Okay.
So I want to say we're recording Saturday, the day before the Oscars. So we have no idea who wins. By the time you listen to this episode, the winners will have been announced.
We could be very right or very wrong.
We'll see what happens. So the best picture nominees are Belfast, Coda, Don't Look Up, Drive My Car, Dune, King Richard, Licorice Pizza, Nightmare Alley, The Power of the Dog, and West Side Story.
I have seen exactly one of those.
I've seen a few of them. I'm working my way through. Of these nominees, I would like to see Coda win. I think it was an amazing film and it's such good representation for the deaf community. And it was really just like a great coming of age story. However, I think that either The Power of the Dog or Belfast will win. So we'll see what happens.
I saw West Side Story and it was great. And I know that Dune, I haven't seen Dune because I wanted to read the book first. Mm-hmm. But I've heard that Dune is like a film of epic proportions.
We can talk about that when we get into This Week in Fangirling, because I did just watch it. So,
okay.
But I guess we'll start with fictional boyfriend of the week.
Yep.
I was just telling you, I don't know that I have any. I don't think nobody spoke to me this week.
That's nobody allowed.
Nobody spoke to me. So I, alas, am single again.
I have kind of a book boyfriend. So this week I finished All of Us Villains, mm-hmm, by Amanda Foody and Christine Lynn Herman. And I'm thinking I'm digging Alistair Lowe.
Okay.
He sung to me. I can talk more about this in This Week in Fangirling, but I gave this a solid 4 out of 5. It was pretty dang good. All right. And then I also, I'll stick with Killorn and Maven from King's Cage, the Red Queen series by Victoria Aveyard. I'm still trucking through with them, so they can be nice. My book boyfriends of the week too.
Very fun. And then that'll lead us right into This Week in Fangirling.
This Week in Fangirling.
Yay, so good. We're going like fast. Said, we've got a lot
yes,
to talk
we
about.
Are. So I finished All of Us Villains. So it is a story about this town called Ilvernath, where there are 7 like magical families. And every 20 years they experience the blood moon, which is where the sky turns red. And during the blood moon, one member of each of the 7 magical families in the area has to go into a Hunger Games style fight to the death.
Oh boy.
So they are literally raised to be prepared to kill 6 other human beings. They're raised to be monsters, to be villains, to be ruthless. And once they begin the competition, it kind of takes a twist where they don't really know that what they've been raised to do is right. Ooh. It leaves you with a pretty major cliffhanger. Not even 100 pages in, I was sobbing. Really, it was really good. It's really good. And I like books that are like, that have co-authors. They always, mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but it's like, if there are two authors, chef's kiss.
Well, it's like they can get whoever gets the best story out. Like, you're not just a singular person. You have like kind of a brainstorming, so they can like play around with it and get whatever the best story is out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, I also finished King's Cage. I've been listening to that on audio at work. I've read that before. I don't think I've read the next book, which is War Storm. So I'll be working on it this week. Outside of books, this is fangirling because I'm a proud auntie. One of my nieces had some art that was in an art show in Atlanta this week. So we went and got to see her art and meet like, they were state senators and state representatives who were there to celebrate these kids. She was one of two kids in her entire school whose art was selected. So proud. Last night, my husband and I went and saw Under Oath and Spirit Box. They were at the Tabernacle in Atlanta. It was a terrible experience, but a wonderful concert. We got there. The doors were supposed to open at 6. I know I was texting you this. Yeah. The doors were supposed to open at 6. They let us in at about 7:45, and it was about 45 to 50 degrees outside. So we were freezing to death. Then they almost didn't let me in because of my little tiny crossbody bag that was no bigger than this book. They said it was too large. It literally held my phone, a couple of masks, and a lip gloss.
Oh my goodness.
But it was too big. So they almost fought me on that. And then they told us the food inside was great. The food inside was not great. but the concert absolutely made up for it. I don't know if we have anybody who's a listener who listens to like metal, but Under Oath always puts on a killer show. I used to joke because I've seen Under Oath before I met my husband. He's seen them dozens of times too. But we, in 2013, they did like a farewell tour. They weren't going to be a band anymore. And a friend of ours owned a venue in North Georgia, Atlanta area. So we're up there just going to enjoy the farewell tour. And our buddy is there and he's like, hey, come with me. We end up backstage watching their farewell tour from behind the drummer.
Oh my God.
And so I'm like, nothing will ever top this. But that drummer was during, I know you don't know who any of these people are, but it was during Aaron Gillespie's like break from the band. And he is like the drummer. He is under him and Spencer are Under Oath. Spencer's a singer, but Aaron is like who you think of if you're an Under Oath fan. It wasn't him. And so last night it was Aaron and Spencer. And it was like it was Under Oath. It was Under Oath fully. So that was really cool to see, even though it was a nightmare. And then I was driving us home. We pulled off to get gas. I really feel like I truly think we might have been abducted by aliens because we pull off at a gas station and we do everything we need to do. We get back on the road and I literally get back on the interstate from where we came. And like 3 miles later, I realize we're going north. And we're supposed to be going south. And there's no rhyme or reason to how he was just as confused as I was. And it was like, this is how this night will end. Of course, we can't just drive home. It was a night of hell. But also a great show. There was this really obnoxious drunk guy. I think the most obnoxious person in Atlanta was standing behind us.
Oh boy.
Screaming when the band is trying to talk, like all of these profanities and just belligerent drunk, slinging his beer around. So like I kept getting hit in the back of the head with beer. He kept like stumbling down the stairs. And I was just like, I'm not a confrontational person. Mm-hmm. If this man touches me, I will go to jail. I was certain. He was so obnoxious. And then when we got home, it was late, but I put on Over the Moon because that was my homework and I hadn't gotten to it because it had been kind of a busy week.
Yeah.
And I got halfway through it. So Feifei made it to the moon.
Yeah.
And she sees the whole, I don't even know what you call it, Broadway style.
Oh my gosh.
Song that, you're going to have to tell me if I'm saying it wrong, Chunga.
Mm-hmm.
That Chunga does. And she's asking for her gift. She's like, yeah. I know you brought my gift. It's lost. And then I like had this like, oh my God moment where it was like, my 3-year-old niece is coming over tomorrow, which is today now. How can I watch this without her?
Yeah.
There's a fuzzy bunny. There's multiple bunnies. It's a cute yes. little like cartoon. So I stopped it.
You so haven't that- even met the best character of that movie yet.
I'm so excited, but I was like,
yeah,
what's better than having not only my opinion on it, but a 3-year-old?
Yes.
I mean, so I'll have feedback from the both of us.
Yes.
Next week.
I'm excited for that. I can't believe I didn't even think of that.
I know.
I knew she was coming over too. And I didn't even think to be like, wait, don't watch it until she comes over.
Yeah. Wait until you have the baby.
Yeah. Well, still it'll be fun. And you get to see that epic song again, which is.
Yes. I'll be singing and dancing.
It's so good. I know. It's so good. Every time it comes on, I just sing along to it.
And it's not what you expect.
Mm-hmm.
But so good. So good.
Yes. I love that movie. I tell everybody about it. All right. Yeah. Was that your
that
whole
was my week?
Week.
That was you my whole week. I didn't do a lot. Didn't do a lot this week.
It was a busy week.
It was a very busy week.
I am still working my way through all of the Oscar noms, and it's been a week.
Yeah.
So this week I watched King Richard, which is a Best Picture nominee. I watched Please Hold, which is a short. It is about so it's about a guy in like they say in the near future who gets arrested by a police drone and gets sent to an automated jail. And so the whole the like short is it's basically him trying to like figure out how to get out because everything's automated. Like he can't speak to a real person and you know how all those automated systems are.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's,
oh,
it's kind of, it was, yeah, it was kind
oh,
of like
new fear unlocked.
I know. I was, and at the end,
that's scary. They,
I think it's implied that, they don't explain it, but I think it's implied that it was like a case of mistaken identity. Like it was the same name as somebody who should have been arrested. You know what I mean?
Yikes.
Yes. So if you would like to unlock a new fear, it's on HBO Max.
Good God.
Hold. It's like 18 minutes. But it was really well done. And I just was like, oh, this poor man.
Yeah. That makes my heart race.
And then another Oscar nominated short that I watched is called The Dress. It is about a woman. It's a foreign language and I can't recall what language it is. And I apologize. It's a European language and I just cannot recall what language it was. But it's also on HBO Max. It's called The Dress and it's about a woman who is, I think she's like, in her 30s and she's still a virgin. And so she like works at a hotel and there's a trucker that visits, stops and like shows her attention. And then, so there, that whole thing happens. So mm-hmm. It was really well done. It just kind of annoyed me because of like, but it was also like perfect example of just men being trash.
Oh, well.
So sorry always. To our male listeners. I'm sure that if you're listening to us, you're probably not trash, but
yeah, see, that's the men that get yeah. it. The men and, that don't say not all men. We
right,
know
exactly.
not all men.
Exactly.
But when we say all men, we know what we mean.
Yeah. And the ones who understand,
they don't have to say
they don't have to
men.
Say it.
Because they're not offended because they know.
Exactly. So yeah. And then I watched The Eyes of Tammy Faye with Jessica Chastain
Ooh.
And Andrew Garfield. And I gotta say, if Tammy Faye doesn't win, like I think they're nominated in the best makeup department.
They have to be.
Jessica Chastain is unrecognizable. Yeah. I mean, I just, it was phenomenal.
Somewhere I have Tammy Faye Baker's son's book. It's called Son of a Preacher Man. I read it. Oh, yeah, it's been years. Yeah, I was probably a teenager.
I knew nothing about them going into it.
I
knew they were like televangelists. But that's all I knew. So I didn't know any of their stories. So going into it, I was like, okay, well, here we go. And I think it was really well done. I really enjoyed it. Jessica Chastain and Andrew Garfield are both phenomenal actors and they put on amazing performances. So I would recommend it. It's also on HBO Max.
I want to watch it. It's just been one of those things where it's like, you're scrolling at 11 o'clock at night and it's like, there's no way I'm going to stay awake for this.
Right. Exactly. I also watched, I've got a very long list. I watched the original Coming to America because I'd never seen it, but the second one was nominated for something. I can't remember. It's on my list of things to watch, but I didn't want to watch the second one without watching the first one, obviously. So it was nominated for, makeup as well, in the same category as Tammy Faye. So I'll probably end up watching that today since I just watched the first one. I watched Dune last night, which I started it at 10 p.m., which was so smart of me. Ugh. It's like a 2.5-hour movie.
I know that. Josh watched it. I didn't, but I was kind of in the room. I was reading.
Yeah, it was, I gotta say, it's a beautiful movie. It's nominated for cinematography, and I think it's well-deserved.
They say Timothy Chalamet is a man written by a woman in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that.
He's like Harry Styles or Tom Hiddleston.
I feel like this is the first thing that I've seen Timothy Chalamet in.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed his performance. He played it so well. And I've never read the book, so I don't know anything of the story. I was warned ahead of time, like when it was first released on HBO Max and all of like the TikTok content creators were posting about it. They were like, well, Zendaya's in it for like 3 minutes, even though it's marketed like she's in it a whole bunch.
Yeah, but I feel like a major star.
Yeah, but she is a part, like she's present throughout the whole movie. Like the part she plays is, I feel like it's part of the plot. It drives the plot, like her character and whatnot, even though we don't see her that much.
Right.
So I feel like she's probably going to be a bigger part in the second movie. But I enjoyed it. It was a hard movie to watch at 10 o'clock at night after a long day at work, but I enjoyed it. It was beautifully done. It was just gorgeous landscapes and all the performances were great. And then I started Nightmare Alley immediately after I finished Dune at 12:30 after midnight. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea, but I got about halfway through it before my eyes started drooping and I stopped paying attention. Yeah. So I'll finish that today. And I also rented Belfast from Redbox. So I'll pick that up and finish that today. And then what else will I have to watch? I will have to watch Drive My Car, Licorice Pizza, and The Power of the Dog to properly give like a guess for the best to know what wanting. I'm gonna feeling. Coda was so good. I loved Coda and I really want it to win. And I've seen Jay Stoops has talked about it a lot, either on TikTok or on our Twitter account, where people are saying that Coda is too much like a Hallmark movie and it's like it doesn't deserve to have the Best Picture nomination. And I'm just like, no baby, you're wrong. Just because it's a coming of age story about a teenage girl and it's about the deaf community, like, no, it's a beautiful story. Like, just be, I can feel good. See, movies myself
don't have to be Hallmark movies. Like, yeah, movies can make you feel good and still be worthy of an Oscar.
Right.
They don't all have to be doom and gloom.
It's a phenomenal movie. I highly recommend it. What else? I also watched Pride and Prejudice. I did my homework. I liked the movie.
That hand flex.
As soon as it happened, I was like, I get it.
It was, this is what everybody's awakening.
This is what Mandy was talking about.
Yeah.
But I had a problem with it because they frame it like Lizzie and Darcy already like each other, or they're like flirting with each other, or that whatever. And that doesn't happen. Yeah. Like when they meet, they like hate each other. They're supposed to hate each other. And then they like slowly grow and come together. Like there was no build up to their romance because they, right out of the gate, they were like, they like each other. It's going to be a will they, won't they. And that's, it just, it, after watching the miniseries, I just am like, this is not how the story is supposed to go. I did enjoy
it. All.
It was really well done. And there were so many people in it that I knew, like their
names. I didn't want to say anything.
I texted you and I'm like, excuse me, that's Rosamund Pike. That's, who was it? Jenna Malone, Carrie Mulligan.
Donald Sutherland, which I hate. I hate him. I'm sorry if you like him.
Oh my gosh.
It's because of, it's not, a, what is it called? It's an American Haunting.
Okay. I don't like him because of the original Buffy.
Yeah.
The Buffy movie. But yeah. And then another one of my nitpicky things about this film is that their mother is not insane enough.
Yeah.
Like if you watch the mini series, she is bonkers.
Yeah.
She is bonkers in your face and just so over the top and dramatic. And I was just like, this woman is just,
you don't really feel it from her.
I don't feel it. I don't feel the frenetic energy that I need from this insane woman. So, but I did enjoy it. It was really well done film. It's just
that Darcy though. Oh,
he is. Yeah. Whew. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
And
that could be your boyfriend of the week. Mr. Darcy in all forms.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he was good. I don't know. It didn't spark anything. It didn't spark joy. He didn't spark joy. I don't know.
All right.
I mean, I liked him. He was hot, but I don't know. Just didn't do it for me. But yeah. And then, so last week I said I was starting The Empress Dowager.
I'm very excited to hear about this.
I love this woman.
Yeah.
She is such a badass. So I said it would take me a while to get through, and then I found out that there's an audiobook for it. So hey. I have like two chapters left and then the epilogue.
That's awesome.
But she is just, I love her. So like I said last week, she was the concubine. So apparently in the olden days, the emperor of China was allowed to have an empress and then also multiple concubines.
That's how it was in like, England too.
Yeah. So it was like, it was normal. But the way that they did it, it's like every woman, like they had to go through the process. Like the emperor at some point had like some sort of like ceremony, or not a ceremony, but like a choosing thing where all the eligible women of like whatever ages had to go, and they weren't allowed to get married to anybody else until after they had been rejected by the emperor.
That's yucky.
Yeah, it's I know.
I don't like how that makes my stomach feel.
I know. That was not great. But so she was one of his concubines, and apparently they have like status levels. So she
was gonna ask, were concubines treated well or
so like the terribly? So like they had like, I think it was like 8 levels, right? So the empress is level 1, like at the top, obviously, and then the concubines fell within these 2 to 8 levels, and I think she was like numbers on like level 6 of.
But were they still, are they considered like, compared to commoner civilians, are they considered like having a status because they're concubines? Yes. Or okay, yeah. Okay.
So the way that they were, because they kept saying that even though she was his concubine, like they, in the book, they're saying like her husband, meaning the emperor. So it was like, kind of like the emperor was married to all of them, but not like actually married, but yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so it's very interesting. But so she started at like the low level of concubine, and she wasn't even like one of the emperor's favorites. And then this chick becomes like besties with the empress and hey. Like moves her way up, and they were like never catty with each other or like any, they were like legitimately,
you would think
like
they would be best, like
right, they were like jealousy. Legitimately besties, like they planned the coup together.
No.
Yeah, like so oh. What happens, so the emperor passes away, and this concubine Shushi, I think, I'm a terrible Chinese person, but she had his first son. So he had a daughter, his eldest child was a daughter, and then she had his eldest son. And so when the emperor died, the son was 5 years old. And so mm-hmm. the son ascends to the throne, but because obviously he's five, the emperor on his deathbed appointed like a council of regents to basically run the country until the child comes of age.
Right.
And so the empress dowager was like, no, these guys suck. They're gonna like destroy our empire. So she like very strategically like planned this coup alongside the empress, and they were like in it together. And they like overthrew the regents and were like, okay, well, we are the regents now of the new emperor, the 5-year-old emperor. And so they ran the country for quite some time.
That's cool.
And then, and unfortunately, like her son dies like at a young age. Like, I want to say he was like maybe late teens, early 20s. And so then they're like, oh no, what happens now? So what happens is that the empress and the empress dowager adopt a boy and place him on the throne.
Dang.
And so it's just, it goes through like, and I feel like she outlives so many people. But so she did so many things. Like she banned foot binding for girls.
Good.
Yeah. So apparently, and this is not something that I knew, but there are different like I don't want to say factions, I don't know what the best word is, but like different kinds of people in China. So you have the Han and you have the Manchu. Mm-hmm. And the Han were the ones who practiced foot binding, and she was Manchu, and so she was like, this is a terrible thing to do.
It's
so
barbaric.
Let's ban this. And she just, and she, it's funny because like she goes in and out of retirement so many times because like
she's like, y'all aren't doing it right. I gotta fix you.
Yeah. She goes into retirement and then like they get like destroyed by Japan, and Japan, mm-hmm. like, you know, and then like the Western powers come in and they're like, we want part of China too. And then she comes back into power and like, listen, guys, no. Yeah. And so like, it's fascinating. This woman is such a badass. And
so does the book read like clinical nonfiction, or does it read like
it reads like it's telling the story of her life. Like, okay, it just it's not like statement of facts. It's like
facts with emotion.
It's like a story. It's like, okay, it's like listening to a story, but it's real people.
Good. Cause sometimes nonfiction is hard to get into because it's just so
this happened. Yeah. I actually really enjoy it. And I really enjoyed listening to it. Like, it doesn't read like nonfiction to me.
I'll have to add it to my
list. So and there was this cute part where they asked, like, she wanted her picture taken And so, like, and she's like in her 80s at this point. Oh. And like they took her picture and they looked at it and they're like, she would not enjoy it. So they retouched it before sending it to her. And she looked at it and she was like, oh, you made me look so young. Like there was a disconnect between what she saw in the mirror and the pictures. And she just was like so happy. So then she was like, okay, let's take more pictures.
Bless her.
It was so precious.
So when did she live? Like what?
She lived, let me.
Because this seems, if they're taking photos, it seems way more recent than I thought.
1835 to like early 1900s.
Wow.
So she.
That's way more recent than I thought.
She retired for the first time, like 100 years before we were born. So in 1889. But then she came back to the throne and like here. So this is
so cool.
This goes up to 1908. Each chapter is like, has years on it. So it looks like she probably passed away around 1908. But that is so cool. It's very cool. I really enjoyed it.
We were alive in the same century as her.
Yes. She's just so cool. Like just listening to her story, I'm like, this is cool. She's kind of a badass. And she was like, because a lot of people in China were like, no, not the Westerners. They're terrible. And she just was like, no, we need to like make friends.
Yeah. We don't need to just be here alone.
Yeah. And so it's really good. I enjoy it. I'm going to be sad when it ends. I don't want to hear about her dying because she's so cool. So I recommend that. That's called The Empress Dowager Cixi. I think that's correct. It's spelled C-I-X-I for people who are listening. And that's by Zheng Chang, which I am pronouncing completely incorrectly, so that y'all can get the name.
Well, that's the good thing. And I know we talked about this last week about audiobooks, is that they tell you. Yes. It does tell you, unless the narrator is wrong.
Yeah.
But you would think if the author is involved.
It's funny because there was a part where like the narrator is reading and I swear I felt like she like mispronounce like non-Chinese names.
Oh no.
So this book is obviously, it's about the concubine in China, and so the author is getting all these like Chinese names, but I think like at one point she like
said
a Vietnamese like city, and I was like, I feel like that's mispronounced, or like, and I was just like, that's kind of funny. I kind of enjoy that.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I definitely recommend the audiobook. It's it helps with pronunciation. See, even I, as a native speaker, am like, I have no idea if I'm pronouncing this correctly. So, and then I also started Love Boat Taipei by Abigail Hing Wen, because she's going to be at a local bookstore doing a signing. And I'm like, I feel like I need to read the books before I go.
Yeah.
So she's got two books. This one's Love Boat Taipei. And then the sequel is called Love Boat Reunion. And so I've just started. It's about this high school senior. She is a Chinese American who her family... it's pretty typical like Asian American families. Her parents have been basically training her from birth to like go to med school. And so, but she wants to dance. And so when she applied to colleges, she got into one med school, and she also got waitlisted for the, I think it's called the Tisch School. It's a performing arts school in New York. And for dance, and then she got accepted, and so she's like,
oh no,
but her parents have signed her up to and sent her off to Taiwan for the summer to a program called Qiantan, Which is apparently colloquially known as Love Boat. And so it's basically, it's like an immersive, like just summer program where they learn, they have like classes that they take and they learn just various things. And apparently
I thought it was going to be like, they were trying to find her like a partner.
Well, apparently
they call it Love Boat.
That's what the kids call it, because they're like, there's no supervision. So, and then it's gotcha. Co-ed, you know, and they're like living in like a building together. So, but yeah, it's interesting. And it's a real program in Taiwan.
Whoa.
So this book is actually based on the author's like experiences going to this program.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and actually it's being turned into a major motion picture.
Cute. I forget. I love it.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that. But so far I'm enjoying it, and I'm also like being attacked because, oh my gosh, do I understand her pressures? It is very, very much the Asian American experience, I feel like. So I will let you know what I think.
I'll have to read that too.
I'm excited about it. I am excited. All right. So that was my insane week. I do want to talk about so there's a show on the CW called Kung Fu, which is just premiered its second season. And when it first came out last year, I was like hesitant because mm-hmm. it just, I feel like Kung Fu is like just a stereotype kind of thing. Like it's a thing, but it also feels like a stereotype. So I was really concerned when it first came out. But I watched the first season and I loved it. It's an all Asian cast. There's like one white guy. And of course the one white guy is the ex like fiance or ex boyfriend of the main character. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, of course we're gonna go with that stereotype. But then she ends up with like somebody else, or she starts dating somebody else, and it's fine. But I'm just like, there's like action sequences, like fighting scenes where I'm just like, this reminds me of like growing up and watching like these Chinese dramas. And it was very reminiscent. But they just got renewed for season 3, even though they just premiered season 2. So I'm really excited about it.
Nice.
And my favorite part is that Si Ma plays her dad, and I'm obsessed with him. I want him to be my dad. He's like one of my favorite actors. I adore him. And he's just like the sweetest little old man.
Oh.
But he's like so youthful. I feel like he's like this old man, but he's so youthful. And I adore him. He's so like, he's just precious.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to bring that up and put it on people's radar because I think it's a really cute show.
I'll tell Josh, he loves the CW show.
I love the CW. Yeah. Like it's like branded more towards like teens or whatnot. But I'm like, you know what? Nah.
I'm a Riverdale girl. So
I love the CW. So yeah. Oh my gosh. My week has been crazy. And
you
I'm
had
like
a busy gonna... week. I had like a dead week.
I had to make up for your dead week.
I know.
Today is going to be like movie marathon. I got to get through as much stuff as today and tomorrow, like before 5 p.m. I'm going to get through as much as I can before the Oscars start, because I'm just like, oh, I did see, however, speaking of the Oscars, Jessica Chastain, because I don't know if you've seen some of the categories, they're not announcing live during the broadcast.
Yeah.
They've taken like a few of the categories and they're going to, like pre-record it and then show that during the broadcast. And so apparently the pre-recording stuff is going to happen during some of the red carpet arrivals. And Jessica Chastain has come out saying, she's like, I don't care if I'm doing press. I don't care if I'm on the red carpet. I'm leaving as soon as they start talking about the best makeup nominees, because she wants to support her team, because they did such a good job. Like,
Becoming Tammy Faye,
it
has to take a lot of makeup because that woman caked it on.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's fun because during the movie, you can see like the progression of like why she keeps adding more and more. And there's like a reason for it. There's a reason. There's a point in the movie where it explains why she like keeps caking on more and more makeup. And it's kind of like depressing.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I thought that was a cute little story.
That is, she's precious.
She is. I do love Jessica Chastain. Even the, I don't know if I like love her or if I just want to be her, because she just gets to make out with all the like coolest people.
Yeah.
Like she was Oscar Isaac's wife in Scenes from a Marriage. She was Sebastian Stan's love interest in The 355. She was Andrew Garfield's wife in Tammy Faye. I'm just like,
yeah,
ma'am, are you just going after all of the amazingly talented and hot Marvel men? Like, look out, boys. So yeah, but she's awesome. I do love her.
Yeah, she sure is.
All right,
where'd your money go, Karen?
Oh my gosh, I don't even want to get into it. I showed you this already, but I got the Wanda like pop pin. Wanda. It's gigantic. It's like the size of my face.
Those things are huge.
I know, but she's so cute. I saw it start to pop up on Mercari and I was like, oh, I didn't even know that was released. And so I stopped by a Target and it was there and I'm like, that's fine. Thank you. And then I got a bunch of pins. I got number 11 in the Stitch Crashes Disney series.
Precious.
This is Stitch Crashes Peter Pan. So he's got the little wings and stuff, and there's a little Tinkerbell. It's very cute. The series, I have all of them now, even though they've technically not like officially released number 12. But it dropped at Disneyland, so I had Heather pick me up one.
Yeah.
And that was the one that I really wanted because it's Mulan and it's so cute. I wish I had it next to me to show you, but it's so cute. Yeah. I'll send you a picture later. But speaking of Mulan, I got this little pin. It's from the Beautiful Florals collection and it opens up.
Oh,
to reveal Mulan. It's so pretty. And then I got two little Turning Red pins.
Very cute.
And I don't know if you are, but I'm part of the Disney Movie Insiders. You collect points and you can like redeem for stuff. Like if you buy a movie, they usually have like the digital code, you can input that and you'll get points for that. But they recently released a limited release pin for the Star Wars Galactic Cruiser.
Oh,
The new like hotel experience thing. And I don't Star Wars, but Heather loves Star Wars. And I was like, do you want it? She's like, yes, absolutely. I do. So I got that for her.
That's cool.
And then my turning red ears.
Oh my God.
Y'all can't see this, but
I got dying.
They came out with Disney came out with turning red ears and they're like plush. So one side you've got
so cute.
One of the ears is May with a big like smiley face. And then the other side is like May as a red panda with her big like bright eyes. And it's just got like a little fuzzy bow in the middle.
Fuzzy bow is
I'm obsessed.
All of it is everything.
I'm obsessed with it. They are, and they're so soft and I'm just obsessed. I love them. And lastly, I got a bunch of pops, which I think I've shown you all of them already.
Yeah.
But look it. Well, they can't look it, but you can look it.
You can't look it. I can look it.
I've got the new Yelena Funko Pop from the Hawkeye series, as well as the Chase version of Yelena with her like face mask thing still on. Mm-hmm. And then I got the Target exclusive edition of Clint from the Hawkeye series with his little Christmas sweater.
Oh, I love it.
So obsessed with this little grumpy cat Christmas sweater. And he's got his little like scars and stuff. So cute.
He's so precious.
And I told you this story when I had seen on like a Funko Facebook group that that Target exclusive was street dated for the 24th. And mm-hmm. I was working from home that day and I was like, okay, well, I'll just take my lunch break and go to Target and pick one up, even though I've pre-ordered it from Target because Target has been really reliable. They have not been reliable with the pre-orders. So I was like, if I can pick it up, I'll pick it up and I'll cancel my pre-order. And so I picked it up. I was really excited. It was the last one there. And then the next morning I woke up and got an email from Target saying your order has shipped and it's my Target exclusive Clint. So now I'm going to have two of them. I will end up returning one of them. So somebody else can have it, but I'm just like, Target, how dare you? So that's what I received. And then last night I placed a Barnes and Noble order because I found out from Stephanie Garber's Instagram that they are re-releasing the Barnes and Noble exclusive edition of Once Upon a Broken Heart, which is the most beautiful cover. Yeah. And it's got like, And once you take the book jacket off, there's like a foil cover underneath. It's really pretty. And I've been like, I really, really wanted it, especially since I was getting, that's the regular.
Mine's just regular.
But the Ballad of Never After is the sequel to it. And I pre-ordered the Barnes and Noble exclusive edition of that. So I wanted them to match. Mm-hmm. But everybody's reselling like the Once Upon a Broken Heart for like $70+. And I'm just like, I can't.
So I didn't realize I bought it because it was just like, I saw it on BookTok everywhere. I didn't realize that it like is a follow on to Caraval.
Is it?
Yeah. So I read the three Caraval books recently and now I haven't gotten back to it yet.
I didn't realize it was a follow up. Okay.
I could be wrong. I think it follows Jax, who's a character in Caraval.
Okay, so then I'll have to read those before I read A Broken Heart. But but I was really excited about that. But in addition to that, I also and I talked about the book briefly, Foul Lady Fortune by Chloe Gong, it's another one that's like a follow-through of her These Violent Delights series, or her duology, following a different character from the book. And I had pre-ordered it previously during the Barnes and Noble like pre-order sale, that it was like 25% off pre-orders or something. But they hadn't released like a Barnes and Noble exclusive, and apparently that's new. So I obviously had to pre-order that too. I like the original cover better, but the exclusive edition has like sprayed edges and I think it was like a prequel or a sequel, like short story in it. And I'm like, well, I have to.
Obviously.
And with those two books, I was 2 cents away from free shipping and it was terrible. So the worst thing. I was like, does anybody have a Barnes and Noble like membership that I can use? And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to order another book. And I ordered last night at the Telegraph Club because I was like, as soon as you talked about it, I was like, I need to have this.
You gotta have it.
So that's supposed to arrive like on Friday. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
So
it seems really good.
I'm really excited just based on that little like synopsis blurb thing you read. I'm all in. I'm so excited for it.
Got to read it. Got to do it all.
I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm so excited for it. So that is where my money went.
So mine didn't go very far this week. I didn't order a lot. I went ahead. I had a credit through Audible and I wanted to cancel Audible because Amazon kind of sucks. And I'm a slave to Amazon. That'll never change, but it was like with all of the free apps and with, I think it's called Scribd. I don't really need Audible. So I went ahead and ordered, before I canceled, I used my last credit to get the A Shadow in the Ember audiobook, which is a From Blood and Ash prequel. And then, so, I mean, music to me is fandom as well. My favorite band is Taking Back Sunday. And this week was the 20th anniversary of the Tell All Your Friends album. And they posted so much merch that I blacked out. I bought so many t-shirts. I got a pint glass. I got a limited edition vinyl because my husband and I also collect vinyls. I got my dog a t-shirt. They're not going to ship until May, but it was like, I don't even know what happened. I just, I was like, I need that. Oh, I need that. Oh, I need that. Oh, I need that. And it was like $200 later.
And it just, it escalated out quickly.
And it was like, what happened? What just happened to me? What? I've been possessed.
You know, sometimes that just, it just happens. It's like when that Barnes and Noble pre-order sale was going on and I looked, and then I, all of a sudden I had like an order for like 10 books. And I was like, wait,
where
did this happen? How did that happen?
Who did this?
Was that me?
A body snatcher?
I don't remember doing that at all.
That's where my money went, was just pre-ordering and getting an audio book. And then we bought a lot of merch at the concert last night. Mm-hmm. We got for the my nieces are, they were mad that we went without them because apparently they're little metalheads now too.
Aww.
So we were texting them videos and I ran down to buy them merch and they were like, oh, I see how it is. I said, listen, Auntie is in line getting your merch. Don't worry. That's where all of my money went this week.
All right.
Oh, I forgot. I did in my, where my money went. I pre-ordered, Amber posted that she's got some hardcovers of The Night the Stars Fell coming. They'll be signed hardcovers. And so I went ahead and immediately banged the credit card down on the counter, take my money. I went ahead and ordered it. So yeah, I'm excited for that. I forgot about that.
Did she post that or was it in the newsletter or what?
She posted it.
Okay.
I think she posted it just on her personal page, but she may have posted it from her author page too. I'll send you the link.
Okay. Because I need it. I need it.
Because it does not look, it's a different cover too. Like it's different cover art. Yeah.
Yes. I love it.
And it'll be signed.
Yes.
It's very cute. Okay.
I'm in. Send me that link whenever, whenever you get the chance.
And as far as what we're anticipating, this time next week, I'll be on the way to Disney World.
Yay!
I ended up getting all of the reservations that we wanted. We are eating in the Mexico Pavilion for lunch. We're eating in the French Pavilion for dinner. I'm so freaking excited. It's just me and my mom going.
That's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. So
I'll send you a list of stuff I need from Disney World. And
I mean, if it's in Epcot or Disney Springs, I got you.
I'm excited for your Disney trip.
I am too. I cannot wait. And then outside of that, again, it's not this coming week, but Scar's Alex Story, you guys, April 12th, Scar's Alex Story is the first novella in The Night the Stars Fell from the Fire and Starlight Saga.
Yay.
AmberDLewis.com.
Speaking of April 12th, I didn't even realize that until you said it right now. Emily X. Arpan's next book, An Arrow to the Moon, comes out on April 12th as well. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day for books. I'm very excited.
Absolutely.
This book has been touted as like a mashup of Romeo and Juliet meets Ho-Yi and Changa.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited. So
see, and it's because of you and her that I picked up the Telegraph Club.
Yeah.
Because it was a banned book, but then I saw her name.
Yeah.
As like leaving the review on the cover. And it was like, okay, well, she can't be wrong.
She can't be wrong. No, I think she's phenomenal. So I'm really excited about that. So I will have an extra because I pre-ordered a signed copy from her local indie, because she goes over there and signs the books for them. But then I pre-ordered another copy that is unsigned from a different indie bookstore so that I could get more pre-order goodies.
Yeah. I don't blame
you. So I just, I just really wanted all the goodies because they're so pretty. And I'm obsessed with this book already and I haven't even read it. This is the book that it just showed up on my Instagram. Like one of her posts showed up on my Instagram, like discover page or whatever they call it. And I clicked on it and I was like, I'm in. Mandy, look at this. Look at this. I'm in. I want it.
I did it.
Yeah. So she escalated everything. So I'm really excited about that.
That's awesome.
And then another thing that I'm anticipating, there is a Lunar New Year themed Tigger Loungefly backpack that is supposed to release for pre-order on the first of the month. And I don't
they not release that?
Well, Loungefly has had so many issues this year.
They're like 2 months late.
I know.
I mean, I'm excited about it, but
it's very cute. I don't even really, well, it's going to be, it's exclusive to one of like their small shop retailers. Mm-hmm. But I Loungefly has had so many issues this year with like stuff being like coming in later because manufacturing and also the issues with the ports and all of that. So
I don't know, like start the pre-order during Lunar New Year though, and just say, hey, this won't ship until July.
Yeah, but then you have like the issue of like buyer protection kind of running out.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, but yeah, so these are things that I'm looking forward to. I don't know what else there is. Okay.
All right, are you ready for the fangirl freestyle?
I don't know. Should I be scared?
No, this is, I don't really think this is controversial. It's just something that I will like climb on a rooftop and scream for the world to hear.
Okay.
Rupert Grint should be the next iteration of the Doctor. Okay.
I would love that.
From the jump, it would be a freaking ginger.
Yes.
Because every time, at least I'm not a ginger. He would be a ginger.
No, I think he wants to be a ginger.
Oh, I thought he's always like, oh, at least I'm not a ginger.
No, I think what I'm remembering is when he became, when it was Tennant, he was like, am I a ginger? And Rose is like, no. And he's like, okay, maybe next time. Like, I think he wants to be a ginger. I can't remember.
Be a ginger. So it would fulfill that joke. But also he has the personality. Mm-hmm. Like when he got his first Harry Potter paycheck, he bought an ice cream truck.
Yes.
Like what says the Doctor more than Rupert Grint? I love that we got a woman doctor.
Yes.
I would want more women doctors.
Yes, yes, yes.
I would like doctors of different ethnicities, but give us Rupert Grint as the Doctor.
Oh, Rupert Grint, that would be a good one.
Yeah, even if it's just one series, you know?
I like that.
Can we send a letter? Like,
I like that idea.
It's not controversial at all.
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be controversial. I think this is a great idea. How do we make this happen?
Do we just write, like, let's tweet to BBC every day?
Start letters. Tweet to the BBC every day until they notice us.
Yeah, we can get. We couldn't afford this, but we could find an investor who could buy a skywriter, who could fly a plane over their buildings. Rupert Grint is the Doctor.
Is Rupert Grint on Twitter? Can I tweet him and be like, "Sir, I need you to please. I need you to get on this. We need this.
We need it
so bad. Oh my gosh."
Few ideas for the freestyle, and I was going down the list as we were driving home last night, and I landed on that one, and Josh was like, ooh.
I have a really good one for next week that, you're going to hate it.
You hear that, listeners? Tune back in next week because I'm going to flip my desk over.
She's going to flip out on screen I guess it's not on screen. What would you say?
On sound.
You listeners, you're gonna hear Mandy just breaking things because she's so
I always
mad.
Joke that like I relate to Banner so much when he says that's the secret cap. I'm always angry. I'm always one table flip away from the wrong fandom thing being said. It's just like, are you out of your mind?
I'm excited to see your reaction because I'm
excited to give a reaction.
I need you to feel my anger. Oh my goodness. All right. We went through everything pretty quickly this week.
We did so good. I have to go get my new glasses. And our town has, so where I'm from every year, and I don't know if I mentioned it last week or not, but we have the International Cherry Blossom Festival every year. And tomorrow is the last day, but this weekend they're having an old book sale. So I'm going to go get my, ooh, on the way after I get my glasses, I'm going to go, I've got my rolling suitcase ready.
Yes.
I'm go in there. Okay. Pro tip for anybody who hasn't thought of that. Take your rolling suitcase to the old book sale. You don't want the old liquor boxes that holds approximately 3.5 books. You want your rolling suitcase so that you can just drop your books in, wheel it around. When you check out, you just open it up. They'll, you know, calculate everything for you. You throw them back in your suitcase. So much easier than those stupid tiny boxes.
Yes.
You are welcome.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm going to go swing by that and then go get my little niece.
Yay. That's exciting.
Yeah, that's I'm excited. My sweet girl.
She's so cute. I can't believe she's so grown up now.
I know. She's three. Big 3-year old.
She's supposed to be a baby.
Who are you telling? I don't know what happened. I blinked and took a nap and she was three.
Yeah. Well, I did that too, but
yeah,
it's been seven years. I don't know how it happened. I swear to God, I just had her yesterday, but that's apparently a lie.
Yeah.
All wrong. Every time I go in my Facebook memories, I have, especially since it's like March. So she was born in February. So she's
teeny.
So it's like that first like month, first few months, it's just all I posted was just pictures of her. And so it's that time again where I'm like going through Facebook memories and I'm like, oh, that is a tiny baby. Where did that tiny baby go? And every now and then
hold up the phone, like, how dare you?
Every now and then I'll hold up the phone to her and I'm like, who's that? She's like, that's me. I'm like, that's not you. That's a baby. Where's that baby?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, mommy, that's me. Like, well, how dare you?
Yeah. How very dare you?
Dare you, child. All right. So we got our first review on Apple Podcasts.
Yes, that's true. I've almost forgot about that.
So I know. I was really excited about it. Mandy texted me. She's like, did you see we got a review on Apple? And I was like, wait, what? I immediately ran to go read it and I knew exactly who it was.
Nice. That was so nice.
So nice. So sweet. We love you guys so much.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming back week to week. I know we ramble a lot. We tried to make it shorter this week. So
yeah.
So you're not,
we did pretty good.
We did pretty good. I feel like this is gonna be a pretty like manageable episode.
Watch, next week will just be utterly incoherent. Chaos.
Yes. Well, at the end we're gonna lose our freaking minds, so because the freestyle is gonna, it's
just, oh no.
I'm so angry just thinking about it.
Oh, I'm scared.
All right, well anyways, if you enjoyed the podcast, please like, review, send whatever, wherever you're listening to us, follow or subscribe, rate us, review us, whatever they let you do, because
it was so nice to read a review.
We love it. Yeah. We love it so much. Thank you so much. Follow us on social media. We are the Incoherent Fangirl on Instagram and TikTok. Especially if you're on TikTok, please follow us, interact with us. I feel like we're freaking shadow banned or something because we are not getting very many views.
TikTok.
We like our first two videos did pretty decently for like a brand new account, and everything since has been like very tiny. So if you're on TikTok, please follow us, interact with our videos. Pretty please. We would like to not be shadow banned and have more people find us. We are also on Twitter.
Our sponsor. Oh, yeah. I'm jumping the gun.
Sorry. What was I saying? Oh, follow us on Twitter. Incoherent Girls on Twitter, because they have a character limit and we have exceeded it.
And that's annoying. I will
never, ever get over that.
No.
Send us an email at theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com with comments, questions, suggestions, corrections, anything like that.
We love suggestions for fangirl freestyles. That's cool.
Yes, because obviously I've already taken a suggestion from somebody. So send us more. If you have opinion that you have that you think other people don't, or just thoughts that you have, anything like that, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah. Even if there's something that you didn't like, because we don't want to be like talking about things you hate. So if there's something that we did that you hate,
clearly we enjoy controversial stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Where else are we? We're also on Facebook. You can like our Facebook page, The Incoherent Fangirl. We have a website, theincoherentfangirl.com. Are you sensing a theme? Fun thing that we just started. We have a YouTube channel. We got a little like pro tip secret trade thing on the backside from one of Mandy's friends.
Yeah, my friend Nikki. Thank you, Nikki. And she'll be on an episode one day.
Yes, we will have her on one day. So we have a full episodes on YouTube now. They don't include video. We will release the video of us looking like lunatics at some point on Patreon when we launch our Patreon. And speaking of Patreon, let us know what. Oh, there's a dog.
The neighbor is daring to cut their grass on a Saturday morning. Hey, excuse me, sir. How we don't yell at the neighbors. We like the neighbors. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. That's where it's incoherent.
He's incoherently pissed. How dare they cut their grass?
So let us know what you want to see from Patreon. We have full-length videos. We have bonus content. We have potentially branded merchandise, exclusive merchandise from small shops.
And partnerships.
Partnerships. We've got lots of fun things that we want to do. So send us an email, comment on social media. Let us know. Yes. Let us know what you want to see from us. And our lovely, lovely sponsor, Joanna at Here Comes the Nerd. You can visit her at her website on herecomesthenerd.com. You can join her Patreon at patreon.com/herecomesthenerd. Join Pop Shop Live. Use code nerdy with two Y's to follow Here Comes the Nerd for all of her live events. She's all over social media. Those will be linked.
She is.
Yes. As well. So you can visit her as well. What else we got?
We have a code for Here Comes the Nerd, and we have Once Upon a Book Club code.
That's right. Use code fangirl at checkout at herecomesthenerd.com for 20% off your first order. And what's your code, Mandy?
So for Once Upon a Book Club, onceuponabookclub.com, you can use code Mandy10 and get 10% off.
I love Once Upon a Book Club.
I do too. I think I've got a box on the way.
Fun, exciting.
Or I think about another box just renewed. Or something. It's coming.
That's more money spent.
Yeah, always.
Always, always.
And that was the Incoherent Fangirl.
Thanks for listening. We love you.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.